This is Behind the Docs, the show that shines a spotlight on the people shaping how we understand and use technology. In each episode, we pull back the curtain to talk about what it's really like to create the docs we all rely on. Let's dive in. Hi, welcome to the podcast. Today we have Caitlin with us, Caitlin Snook from ACS Technologies, and I'm really excited to get into this conversation. So without further ado, Caitlin, give us a little bit of background and tell us how you got into technical writing.
All righty. Well, I'll start off with a little bit of alt text description about myself. I'm a 35-year-old woman with long brown hair, parted to the side. Today, I have a green t-shirt on to bring out my green eyes, and I have a very excited smile. I'm happy to be here. I've been in technical writing for over 13 years now, and I've actually been with the same company the whole time. I was very lucky to be an intern in my senior year of college, and then I landed this full-time position about 6 months after I graduated. ACS Technologies is a church management software company. We have just under 500 employees, I think, about 21,000 customers over several products and services that we offer. My audiences that I write for are mostly Catholic. So that's been interesting. I had a lot of learning to do in the beginning, but it's always been fun. The content team that I work on has six people, and we have a content lead, Barbara, who keeps us all together. She herds cats every day, and I'm one of those. I started out as a technical writer. I actually graduated with a technical communication degree. But over the years, of course, you know, technical writing became something different, and we were doing more than just that. So we were able to convince our company that we were no longer technical writers. We were more like UX content designers. We're now considered technical communicators. But we do the work of UX content design and taxonomists and technical writers, et cetera, all the things.
Wow, that is so wild. I'm so interested in the fact that you actually went to school to be a technical communicator. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, what drew you to it when you entered your secondary education?
Yeah, so that degree was actually new at the time, which makes me feel really old, but that's fine. Actually, I started college thinking that I wanted to be a computer programmer. So that was interesting. So I think the first 2.5 years of my college career was learning code and all the things behind the scenes for software. So it definitely made the transition easier. But it's so funny. I was I remember one day I was in a poetry class. It was just, you know, a little side class to get a credit. And my professor came up to me and she said, "Why aren't you in writing? Why aren't you doing writing as a career? You know, why isn't that your focus?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. What can I do with writing, you know, that would get me as big a salary as computer programming, because, you know, money's important for a living and stuff." But I, you know, I thought about it and I talked with another professor who was specifically in technical writing, Dr. Hansen, shout out. She was amazing. She really helped me to understand that writing is more than just being an author and writing books. And so she really explained how I could mix the love of computer science and writing. In fact, another funny time, I was in one of my computer science classes, and my professor there came up to me and she's like, your comments in your code are really well written. You know, like you're the only one in this class who really comments the code to make sure that people understand what this code is doing, what it's for, so they can come back later. And that was kind of like a little click moment where I said, you know what, let me think about this technical writing. So yeah, that was really, I had a great kind of transition into technical writing that way.
Yeah, that is so interesting. And still some of the things that I hear today, just, you know, day to day, people talking about like the comments that they're writing for code and all of that, like all of that is very similar, even 13 years later. But I'm curious, you know, you entered this industry with one idea of what it was going to be, and it sounds like it's shifted a little bit. So what is that? How has that transition looked for you? So like from when you first started as a technical writer to now?
Oh, Lord. Yeah. So when I first started, we were in a wiki. You know, we had pages of words all over the place, very unstructured. If you've heard my my promotional ad for Heretto, you've heard this story. But we started in a wiki. It was really unstructured, but you know, we made do. Of course, we there were keywords that we could add and some small things like that. But now, like, that has exploded into this whole world of content management. And you know, there's so much that we can do with the content now, not just putting words on a page, but it's putting that metadata behind it and making it usable, making it reusable, you know.
Yeah, it really has changed. There's so much that's still the same, but so much that has changed. And I think that that's such an interesting part of this industry. So now, again, this is more about you as a writer and as someone who is in this industry. And so I'm curious as to what your favorite part of your job is today.
I'd say my favorite part is just knowing my audience. Like, we make a lot of effort to know who we're writing for and why it matters. And that part really, like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, because it really, our writing makes a difference. And it doesn't matter that it's, you know, church management software. It could be anything. It's just the fact that I know that I'm helping somebody do their daily job and just try to get through it, especially with everything going on. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. And if I can just improve that for somebody just a little bit by doing my part, that's really what truly makes me happy. And I'm very fortunate. You know, I hear people all the time talk about how they don't like their job or they don't like the people that they work with and things like that. But I'm really fortunate that I do enjoy my job. I do get something out of it.
So we were talking about your favorite part of the job is being able to help someone. So do you ever get that direct feedback? Like, do you ever, you know, innately we understand that we're helping people, but is there ever a time that you actually get to experience that firsthand? Like, do you get that information?
Yes. And, you know, it's gotten a lot better. When I first started, we had nothing. But luckily, over the years, I was able to go to our conferences that we put on where people come to learn about our products and learn how to use our products. And I met people there. And even though I am extremely introverted, it was so easy to just talk to these people and understand what their frustrations are. And they were very eager to tell us all about their frustrations, but also, you know, their success stories and how our software is making a difference for people that they have interactions with. And, you know, just through talking to those people at the conferences and understanding their kind of day-to-day, that really helped me, obviously, with empathy and understanding. But recently we've gotten, we've implemented a feedback mechanism on every single help page that we have. At the very bottom, you know, it's a pretty standard, was this content helpful? And, you know, we've gotten great feedback. We've gotten a lot of yeses and, you know, why this has actually helped them, which is really encouraging. And we've gotten some no's, and we've, you know, some people will just say, no, this wasn't what I was looking for. And, you know, you just kind of want to shake the screen and say, tell me what you're looking for so I can make the content better. But, you know, it's still good to see those and to understand, like, if a certain page is getting a lot of no's, you know, maybe we need to look at that content. And then we do have some customers that I love so much. They're my favorites, who actually tell us, like, what is missing? What were you looking for? What are you trying to accomplish? And that has really helped us to improve our content and make it more useful. And we get those on a daily basis. We probably get about 10 per day. So that's been really helpful. Also recently, we've kind of delved into support content. So support calls, and we actually have that data now. And I hesitate to talk about AI, but I do have to give it credit. It is very good at taking a lot of support call data, like, you know, 7,000 rows, and condensing that and kind of bringing out the main points, the main things that people are having trouble with. So that has really helped us to understand which content we need to promote. So that people are getting that content when they need it, especially when they're frustrated. You know, the content feedback mechanism really brings out the frustration in people, which is understandable. You know, you're trying to get something done, and that's a really good way to let somebody know when you're frustrated. And so that's really helped us to make our content better.
Yeah, the AI piece of it is always hard to talk about, and it's always a little polarizing, but some of the things that teams are doing with it to help improve their process are really, really impressive. Like you guys looking at support calls and condensing that information. We have other customers who are cross-referencing the support calls and the support requests, like the tickets, with their documentation to see if that request could be answered by documentation. And if it can't, then they're, you know, filling that in. So that's super, super fun. But the feedback, I'm glad that you guys get good feedback, because that always feels really good. And I'm glad that people are vocal about that.
Absolutely.
If you would actually, sometimes when I talk about ACS Technologies, because I actually talk about y'all a lot in a very positive way, but people are always really interested to understand what Church software is and what it does. And so maybe you could tell us a little bit about what ACS Technologies does, who they serve, some of the functionality that they're giving different parishes and churches.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a couple of different products and a lot of services that really, I mean, it encapsulates everything that you need to do in a church. Or even at an organizational or a diocesan level, which is that's my specialty. The products that I work on, like I said, are mostly focused on the Catholic spaces. They use the software to manage their church members, as well as their formation students. Also, all of the accounting stuff that they have to, you know, there's a lot on the accounting side of a church that they need to track and make sure they're paying the people. And then there's, at the diocesan level, there's a lot to manage with the people who work in the church. So all of your personnel, of course, you want to track their assignments, things like that. And then on the opposite side of that, the other product that I'm working on is actually for any denomination can use it. It's mostly a database kind of product, but of course, there you're still working with all of your contacts, all of the contacts at a church, people who interact with your church, and also the people who attend the church. So that's a lot of people to track and manage. Of course, over there, you also have your personnel that you need to track all your data for. And all of this, you know, we of course, we work with the UX designers to make sure that it's as user-friendly as possible. To make sure that things are really intuitive. And I think that spills over into the content as well. The transition for us from being a wiki to being a structured content system, that also came with moving from the more technical, just describing all of the fields on a screen, over to telling people, this is how you complete a task. Like, this is how you actually accomplish something. I feel like before, you know, when we were just describing the fields, it was all very disconnected. And that can be helpful sometimes, you know, to read a description. Okay, like, this is what this field is intended to do. That's fine. But why? You know, why? What's the context behind that? So I love that we, in a structured environment, we have that context. We have the prerequisites. You know, what do you need to know before you even start this task? And then the steps themselves, and then the post-requisite, and like, what do I need to do after? Because all of that is really important for these customers who are, you know, they're sitting at the church. Maybe they have somebody in front of them and they're trying to do this thing really quickly. I know, I think we can all relate to that being really hard to, you know, have somebody standing in front of you and you're trying to complete something and you aren't exactly sure what to do. You know, with our contextual help, you can just click a little button and your help page comes up and it's all about exactly the screen that you're working on. So I think that's been really helpful for people actually in the church and just trying to get these daily tasks done.
That's a great segue to my next question, because I was going to ask you, what is good documentation mean to you? Like, when you see either at your own job or out in the wild, like, really good documentation, what are some of the key features, functionality, you know, the way that it's written, all of that, that really says this is a great doc?
Yeah. So I actually have a little folder on my computer where I keep screenshots of good documentation. But I think good documentation is, you know, well written, no typos, no run-on sentences, you know, obviously all of that kind of stuff. But also, there's a purpose, right? There's context and purpose. And like I said, if you can accomplish the task that you set out to do by reading this document, that's gold. That's what I strive for. Anytime that I'm creating a new topic or editing something. In fact, sometimes I get a little distracted because I go into it, you know, a task of mine where, you know, I just need to update some alt text on these images. But then I end up reading the page and I'm like, you know what, that could be a little better. So, you know, a little distraction, but it's always good because it's constantly improving our content. That I think is really important too for good documentation, that you don't just publish it and forget about it. You know, you constantly go back, especially with the content feedback, and Google Analytics have been really helpful for us too, to see where people are going in our help content, and just being able to understand which content needs to be looked at what time. And it may be different throughout the year. You know, around Christmas time, we may need to look at certain tasks that have to do with that. So I think the constant updating, the making sure that your examples are always up to date. I know I actually put in a little piece of reuse where anywhere that I use an example where I have a date, so like, you know, 2025, I have a little piece of reuse for that 2025 and I update it every year. And so that's been really, really useful to just make sure that our content not only is up to date, but that it looks up to date, like at a glance.
That is so clever. I love that so much. Like, just those little really interesting ways of adapting. Like, you know, we all know the like core reasons why you use reuse, you know, like product names and that kind of stuff. But to use it on dates is so fun. And I love that. Tell me if there is a documentation hill that you are willing to die on. Like, is there something that you will not budge on no matter what? And it could be anything, but I'm always interested to hear what people, you know, really stand behind.
I have a great example for this because it happened recently. Content is not meant to fix a UI problem. Okay. So you guys know what I mean, but let me explain. Recently, in one of our older products, where I hope the dev team isn't listening because I'm about to throw them under the bus. But basically, they didn't want to touch that code because it was very old. You know, that product was working fine. They didn't want to touch it. Okay, I understand. However, we were getting calls about something in the UI that was very confusing. And honestly, it was just a wording change. It was our password requirements were just a little bit confusing. Honestly, very confusing. But it was just this, you know, two little lines that if we could just update that in the UI, everything would be okay. But no, they didn't want to touch the code. So they asked, one of my team members, James, if he could update the help content to explain what was in the UI. And James, you know, came to us with this problem. And I said, James, no, you have to push back. Like we cannot do this. Sure, we could update the help documentation. Yes, we absolutely will. But this is a UI problem. This is something that a very simple wording change could fix. So that is the hill for me, pushing back and helping people to understand content in general. Helping them to understand that it's not about, you know, putting it in the help content, basically forcing somebody to go to the help content to understand what they're seeing on the screen. That is not the point. Sure, that helps, you know, keep our jobs safe, but that's not the point. That's not what we're here for. The UI should serve the same purpose as the content. It should help the customer through their task, whatever it is. And sure, if they need a little extra help, they can go to the help content and understand the context and the why behind it. I think there's a very important difference in what people see in the UI and what people see in the help content. And both are equally important.
That was a great example. And I'm glad that y'all pushed back on that. That's yes. Hard to
and
do.
We ultimately won out. We won. We updated the UI, and we're going to keep an eye on those support calls to see if they were reduced. I'm sure they were.
Yeah, and what a great thing to be able to look at the before and after and see the difference in support calls. Like what a great impact to measure. So big kudos for that one. We are closing in on our time, and I want to be respectful because I know you've got a lot to do. But we always end our conversations with what is the best piece of advice that either you got or you would like someone else to have who may be considering technical writing or maybe in this industry already. You know, what can you say to them?
I feel like I've already said it, but honestly, just knowing your audience and knowing the context and being able to convey that in your writing. I think all of that together is really important. And honestly, that's what makes this job more than a job for me personally. That's what makes it important in my life. Just to be able to understand the frustrations, the problems that people are facing, and to be able to use my skills as a writer to help with that.
That's wonderful. And I feel it in every time that you speak about this. You know, you can really feel the passion. And I think that that's very common in the world. But, you know, as an end user of a lot of different products, we don't necessarily think about that often. So I love being able to have these voices on our podcast and talk about that. So thank you so much, Caitlin, for being here. It was wonderful speaking with you today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I love to talk to you again.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Docs, where the content's structured, but the conversations aren't. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and share it with someone who loves great documentation as much as we do. Until next time, keep creating content that makes a difference.